Mr. Tan Wah Ming, Real One.
Mr. Tan, can we begin by having you tell us something about your personal background?
Since my birth in Singapore, I was born in 1919 in Bukit Timah Village. I got my primary Chinese education in the Tong Ching Chinese School in Bukit Timah Village. When I was about 10 years of age, my father decided to send me to an English school. So I went to town. I traveled by train. At the time, a train from Johor, you come to Singapore, Tan Road, they stop the station at Tan Road, you see. So I bought up at Bukit Timah Station and called it Tan Road. And my school is Warrior English School. Warrior English School is in Dhoby Ghaut. The present seat of KT Building, the back of KT Building. I had finished standard seven there. Then I joined the YMCA School of Commerce. Because my father wanted me to learn how to keep an account, see. So I take up bookkeeping, tax writing, and commercial English. After 2 years of commercial education, I came back. That's something about 1939, before the war, to help my father sundry shop. My father used to have a sundry shop too.
Why did your father decide to let you go to an English school after your Chinese primary education?
You see, I don't even finish my primary education in Chinese because my father got into some difficulty with this English letter, this and that. My father got two sons. My other son is having his Chinese education, so my father decided that I should take an English education, see. So that whether English or Chinese, both the brothers know lah. It's better for the business, you see. That's why he sent me to an English school. At that time, it's very difficult to go to English school. You cannot get an English school in Bukit Timah Village. So I go by train. Later on, I cycle there. Later on, when I'm old enough, you see, I cycle to school by cycle.
Was it very common for people from Bukit Timah Village to go to town to study English?
At that time, very few. I believe, at my time, it's less than 5 people in my village going to town for English. But later on, you see, less 20. Later on, they got the school in Bukit Panjang. They sent them to Bukit Panjang English School, instead of sending them to town, see. Like my son, he's educated in Bukit Panjang English School for his primary school. After that, he went to town.
Was Tong Cheng School the only school in Bukit Timah?
At that time, that was the only school. That is a public school run by the village people, not a government one.
Which part of Bukit Timah was that?
Actually, it was somewhere at the junction, not junction, near the junction of Bukit Timah and the present Jurong Jalan Kecil. That time Jurong Jalan Kecil is called Jurong Road, you see.
So you were staying there?
I was staying there. And later on, of course, I moved out.
Can you tell us something about your family?
Yeah, we got quite a big family, you see. We got 5 sisters and 2 brothers. But the sisters are not well educated, only Chinese primary school. Like my brother, also finished his Chinese secondary school only. At that time, no lah, I don't have this university or this Nanyang University, don't have lah. If you get a secondary school education, considered to be very good.
What was your father's attitude and expectations regarding your education?
My father is actually not educated himself. He just learned a few words when he came to Singapore. But he liked us to know, to be educated, you see, to know things. Right? That's why he sent all of us, our family, to school, even my sister out. Yeah. But we all went to a village school. Right? We don't go to town at that time. And that's about 50 years ago. We can get a good school. In a government school, there's no such thing as government school. Very few in town.
How big was the Tongcheng school?
It's not big. It's about over. It's actually, at that time when I think it was at that part. And later on, it built bigger and grew bigger and bigger. Now it's very big already. Now it's government aided, I think. Now no, it's not Tongcheng School, now they changed to Sichuan School.
During your time, where was the school, the location of the school?
The same place as the present Sichuan School, the same location.
Where is it?
Between Jalan Julom Kichi and Chuan Chin School, Chuan Chin Road. Between there.
How many students were there studying in that school during your time?
At my time is about 100 or 70 to 80. Very small, only 2 or 3 teachers.
And the students, were they from the Bukit Timah village?
Yes, all from Bukit Timah village.
No outside people from other places?
No. Because at that time, all the village, they have a village school. They think Chinese and no English.
So who were the teachers? Where were they from?
I don't know. They might have to be from China. And they are, at the time, their Mandarin is not so good as now. Some of the teachers of Teochew, they taught Teochew Mandarin. Hokkien, they speak Hokkien Mandarin. So mixed up at the time.
And what kind of subjects did they teach the students?
Not much, I think. We call it literature or something like that. Maps. History is very little, they don't teach history. Just to let you know how to read and write at that time. Maps and coding, that is the most the important thing.
Maps, mathematics.
Maps. Like geography and history, all these are not, at that time, no science, I think.
You mentioned that the school was supported by the people themselves.
Yeah.
How did they organize the
school? You see, all the shops there, they give money. And all the villagers, they give a certain sum also. But not as much as a shopkeeper.
Every month they give
every
money?
Every month. They got one person to go around to collect, to maintain the school. Of course, we pay school fees also, but that won't be enough. Even this practice of having money from the shopkeeper continue after the war. Only when the government took over the school, that the village shopkeeper, they call it the committee, is out of it.
So who would be the one in charge of collecting money and then spending the money on the school?
The one who collect the money is paid for. And then they got the committee, you see. that was elected by all these people. Every year there's an election. Who be chairman and treasurer, this and that.
So normally, what kind of people would be elected to be the chairman, treasurer?
Mostly the shop people, see. Not the farmers or that. The farmers, they do their share by paying a little. But to manage the thing, mostly the shop people.
Normally, how long did they serve in the committee?
Usually every year. Every year there's the election.
Do they change members every year?
Mostly those people, they don't change much.
The same people?
Mostly, yeah.
Was your father ever in this committee for the school?
You see, now that school, Tong Chin Su, is called the Sichuan School. My father had been the chairman there for many years. There is a hall, they rebuilt the building, see. And my father donated quite a lot of money, so there's a hall, or a classroom, I don't remember, under my father's name.
Was it before the war or after the war that your father was the chairman?
Before the war, I think. Even after the war, my father also became active, but I think not after the war, before the war.
What was your father's name?
Tan Soon Yang.
How do you spell it?
TanSoonYang.
YAM?
Yeah.
So, when he was chairman of the committee, what kind of work did he have to do for the school?
Actually, not much. They decided how to run the school. If the school has enough fund, it's easier, see. Once the school is short of fund, then he has to find a way to raise the fund to keep the school going, see. At that time, it was a village own business to keep the school going. The government, that was British time, see. They don't care for this thing.
How much money do you remember you had to pay for?
That's not much. At that time, money is so big, you see. Some shops they pay $10, some shops they pay $5, and even a farmer paying $1 is very welcome. At that time money is so big, say $1, he says that's so big, right?
How about the villagers themselves?
Yes, they have to pay something because their son is going to the school also.
Normally how much would they contribute?
I remember my father's time, we used to pay $10. And some shopkeeper, they pay $5. Some farmers, they pay $1 or 50 cents.
So, the money will be in the hand of the committee to decide how to spend it. What happened if the money was not enough?
Then they have to... The committee have to purata, like pay a bit more to cover up the expenses.
So the committee members themselves will have to pay?
Yeah, they have to pay. They hold more responsibility. If suppose they are short of $100, they will divide among themselves easily.
Initially you said that it was only a tap house.
Yeah.
When did it begin to...
I don't remember, and later on, it built up of the small, the wall is the four, later on they changed into the small brick, you see, not the big one, the small brick, and the four sides make of planks, and now it's different. Now it's not a Sichuan, not a Chongqing school, it's a Sichuan school already. Now they got three or four stories like that because government pay half and this and that. They don't need go here for donation, go there for donation, all these things. Now the building is different already.
How about just before the war? How was the building like?
Before the war, after the attic house, they got too small, they rebuilt it. I think six pillars. experience. And then upstairs, they use a instead of R-type, they use the small brick, the old type of brick. And then they fence it with timber and underside, not brick, you see.
One story.
That four castle. And later on, they got something like long house built by the side of that to add in one or two more classes. But more students coming. Later on, they got another, the outside, another long house like that. Had to add in two or three classes because the land is so big there. They don't have no need. But now it's different. Now the house, they have two or three stories. At that time, you don't have much people, you see. And the land is so big there.
So the British government did not have any control over the running of the school?
You see, that school was changed to secondary school because the British government found that some teachers there and that communists or something like that. So they closed down the school.
That was after the war?
No, before the war. That's why they changed the name to Sichuan School. They cannot open the school already. So they applied to the government, so they changed the name. The government allowed the school to reopen under different name.
You mean the school already changed its name before the war?
Yeah,
before the war. From Tongqing to Sichuan?
Sichuan School. Just before the war.
These teachers who were suspected to be communist, how did the British find out?
We don't know. That is a thing we don't know.
What did these teachers try to... Did they try to talk to the students? Or?
Actually, I have no idea. Only I know that the government arrested two or three of the teachers and closed up the school. And then the news come out that they are communist. They try to teach the students about communication, this and that. So the government closed it. So we engaged a whole set of principals in Asia. At the time just before the war, I think the communist is quite active or something like that.
So when the school was closed down, was the committee and your father affected by it?
No. They were called up for questioning this and that, but no punishment this and that. Asked them to be more careful in engaging the teacher this and that. Caution.
Can you tell us exactly where was your house situated in Bukit Timah?
Is to be near the beauty world, the present beauty world, the one demolished already. You know the row of houses, Jurong Jalan Kecil, Upper Bukit Timah Road, there's a row of houses, Bukit Timah Road, somewhere there. At that time, when I was born, that was all attap house. Later on, they rebuilt into brick houses. And later on, after the occupation, that house was bombed. I moved it to Jurong side. In Jurong Kecil, the present Esso petrol plant there.
Can you describe to us your neighborhood where you were staying?
You mean before the war, when I was a child? That is a small kampong, very small. I remember when I was about 10 or 11 years old, there's only about 10 to 20 shops. of different type of shops, not all sundry shops, you see. But quite a lot of farmers, all these things, who stay nearby, they come to the village to buy things. Later on, slowly the village grow. We got 40 to 50 shops. 50 to 60 shops like that. They expand when the population increase.
So the villagers were mainly shop keepers?
Yes, shopkeepers. At that time, they work about, should be 15 hours a day. I do the same. When I was schooling, I used to help my father. You see, the villagers used to come to the village very early, especially fruit season. You see, they come to the shop to sell their fruits so that they can bring to town, say about 5 o'clock. And when everything is ready, 5:30, all these fruits, chicken, anything, they will transfer to town, see.
The town meaning where?
Those people, town people, they depend on the countryside for these farm goods. At that time, Lim Chu Kang, Chua Chu Kang, all those are unpassable. Bukit Timah village, they call, in Chinese, they call Bei Chia Long Bui. Bei Chia Long Bui is the end of the road, you see. That was 50 or 60 years ago, you see. They expand up to that place only, Bei Chia Long Bui. At present, the older generation still call the place Bei Chia Long Bui, end of the road. So that is a place they produce farm goods, eggs, everything for the town people.
The town people, the town, which towns would you refer?
Like Tseng Pa Sa, New Market, at that time it's New Market, Old Market, Thi Pa Sa, now it's like, I don't know what you call that, Thi Pa Sa, all these things. All these things are considered the, that is where the Chinese, the most of the wholesalers are there. Like the Paya Lebar people, the Pak Swan Yang people, they all go there to buy things for the village to sell. Like Bukit Timah, like myself is in Bukit Timah, Semai, Bukit Timah village. In Fort Man, there is another village. In Newton there's another village, you see. So all these people, all these village people, they go to, they call that town to buy things. The wholesale place. The Hokkien, they got a certain place of all Hokkien people. In Teochew, they got a lot of, they go to the Teochew of Tseng Pa Sat. Like my father go to Tseng Pa Sat.
So those villagers with those crops to sell, they will sell it to the shopkeepers in the village?
You see, there is middlemen, you see. They come and collect. Every morning they buy from town. They don't sell to the sundry shop or the, like the sundry shop, they may buy pigs from the farmer, like not much, a few, to slaughter themselves, to sell it to the people around there, say twice a week or alternate days like that. They kill themselves at that time. They have to do all by themselves.
So the sundry shopkeepers were not the middlemen between the villagers and the town people?
No. For the fruits and chicken and that is not. That's it.
They have another group of middlemen to come to the village to
buy every month.
So these villagers themselves seldom go to the town to sell their...
No.
So what kind of business normally did these shops have in
a sundry shop? A sundry shop sell all sort of things. There is no government control. Like they kill pigs, they sell drinks, They even cut bananas and sell. Even this pineapple, mostly China goods. And then quite a lot sell this poultry food also for the farmers to rear their chicken, their pig, their ducks, all these things.
So these sundry shops, they mainly serve the villagers?
Only serve the villagers. But mostly on credit. At that time, it's all credit.
How would normally a business be conducted?
You see, I understand from later on, I understand from my father, like this credit is very bad, you see. Like we give to a farmer a credit, now we have to pray God that all his stock must be come out very well, see. If suppose got some sickness, destroy their pig, chicken, all this, our credit given to the farmer cannot be collected. So have to wait for the next time, you see. So at that time it's very good, but of course we charge a bit more at that time.
Interest?
Not say interest. Not the business is not so competitive, so that we can make a bit more.
There isn't any kind of mortgages for the credit?
No, in Chinese, no. It's a matter of trust. And then all our neighbors, old customers, all these things, you can never talk about mortgage and this and that. Only nowadays we talk mortgage. I mean, former days, business is all word in word only.
When the shopkeeper extend credit, would he choose the people that he would give the credit to?
Yes, if you, of course, if the you cannot pay regularly or promptly, we might stop giving credit to you. If you pay your debts, like when you sell your chicken or when you sell your pig, you bring the money and say, I pay you, then give you again. If your pig die or this and that, that's an excuse. We may still extend the credit. That is beyond your help, you see. That's God's will that you will suffer, that we have to help you. But if everything is okay, you have to pay regularly. We know that you sell the thing, you have to pay us. If you don't pay, we won't give you credit again.
So how's the relationship like between the shopkeepers and the villagers, the farmers?
Yeah, very good. Always very good. All a matter of trust. Not like the present, you see. They move from one place to the other place where you cannot find them. For me, once they start there, they stick there for 10, 20 years, even their children at that place. No, they can't move here and there. It's very hard. Actually, there are no working place. If they are a farmer, they'll stick at that land and do all their life, and their children may take over the same place. So the relation must be very good, and the people know each other long time, you see.
So what about relations between among shopkeepers? Were there any kind of competition?
Yes, there is.
So how did they feel about each other's business?
Yes. Very hard to say, each person has its own way of doing business, you see. Like before, it's very funny, The Hokkien, I used to do the Hokkien, go to the Hokkien people, the Teochew, go to the Teochew people.